Hello and welcome to our final Robins radio show of the season, bringing the curtain down on this enthralling Welsh Premier League season. We've been away for a little while, but we're back, however, this evening here in Swansea, and I'm joined by two of the league's top journalists in the form of Mark Pittman and Matt Burgess. So welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for coming on the show. Today we're going to be looking at everything ranging from TNS's superb title-winning season again to Tom Donegan's waist-high tackle on Les Davis that brought the curtain down on the season in that playoff final. However, there's only one place we can really start today, and that's the revelations that came out in the middle of the week. For people who haven't heard about it, the anti-match-fixing organisation Fedabet released a document alleging that 13 teams in the UK had been subject to match-fixing. Two of those were in the Welsh Premier League. One was a 7-0 win for Ballot over Gap Connors Quay, and one was a 1-1 draw between Port Talbot and Carmarthen. They're sort of very strange allegations, to say the least, and they've come completely out of the blue, so it's a bit of an odd situation, really, isn't it, Mark? No one really knows which way to turn.
It is. It came as a surprise, and not a very nice surprise either for the league. You know, the league has had a lot of bad publicity, a lot of negative publicity, and things like this really don't help matters. What was encouraging, what was very proactive from the league, was the fact that the league was able to release such a positive statement on the back of it in a very short period of time, which sort of questioned the allegations and emphasised the fact that the league does a lot of work, has been doing a lot of work for the last 2 years to against this sort of thing. And the games that were raised, being allegated against, they have been covered by the league as part of their own investigations, and no problems were found. So it was good that the league could put forward such a positive statement on the back of it, which carried a bit more weight than the actual allegations made by Fedabet.
Do you feel that now it's happened, now it's out there in the open, it's going to be sort of, it'll put a stain on the league? People think,
the problem with such allegations is they're difficult to shake. It's a stigma attached to it. You know, there's been a lot of the press picked up on it, the local press. It's hard for the clubs involved to shake off the stigma. You know, the headlines in South Wales, even in Post, relating to Carmarthen and Portalbert, two teams involved, were clubs involved in match fixing. You know, and for sponsors, for fans, it's awful. Yeah, and the club won't shift that, but it's just come back now, the positive response. And luckily, the Football Association of Wales and the Welsh Premier League, because of the good work that has been done over the last 2 years, were able to put a positive statement out. But it's tough on the clubs, and the damage has been done to a certain extent.
I believe, Matt, that I think that the company got one of the dates wrong and one of the score lines wrong. So is that a good thing that sways in the league's favour, that these allegations could be completely wrong?
Yeah, I think the publication has been released, how it was suddenly sort of submitted to the European Parliament without any sort of dialogue between Fedabet and the league or the clubs beforehand. Highlighting the allegations or their findings was poor. Again, like you say, the errors in the actual report, there's only two matches. You know, you'd wonder, surely, the amount of time they've spent researching these particular fixtures, they come to the conclusion they were possibly fixed, they would at least get the date of the fixture correct, and also the scoreline. So, I am quite sceptical personally about the actual report itself. Fedabet, as we touched upon, have never been heard of before. And until they actually back up their claims and their findings, I'm quite dubious of the whole thing.
You said that the league had sort of come together. Does it reinforce that other leagues sort of, I think it was the Skrill Premier League, the conference as it's known as, they released a statement as well saying they'd never heard anything about it. So that, everyone's in the same boat, aren't they? Everyone's behind each other.
Yeah, what the statement has done and the allegations have done is it's raised a lot of questions over Fedabet themselves, more than the actual leagues involved, to an extent. The Welsh Premier League, I'm sure the other leagues have asked Fedabet to provide evidence to back up their allegations, which as yet they haven't. Obviously, the clubs have been very defensive, denying any wrongdoing. But until the actual the data that was used by Fedabet to come up with these allegations is revealed or published, they can't really back up what they've said.
Yeah, I think as well, what they've done, they've come in, they've made these super allegations and statements. It's had a lot of publicity, it's carried a lot of weight, but they haven't actually helped the courts. They haven't supported the clubs, they haven't supported the league or the bodies. They've stirred up a lot, but they haven't actually done anything to help, and keep the integrity of the game intact, which surely is their aim. So, like I said, I'm very dubious about the whole thing.
It's an interesting matter, one that that the league will want to probably resolve before the start of next season. We'll just go away from that, the negative issues surrounding the league. We'll just look at a few clubs from this season. Obviously, it's been another fantastic season. TNS ran away with the title. There was a few clubs that struggled, a few clubs that got into the top six without people really thinking they could, and obviously the rise of Aberystwyth, which everyone knows about, which was a fantastic thing for the league. We'll just look at a couple of clubs. Obviously, the New Saints. Do you feel that they were deserved winners again, Mark?
Yes, in a word. They're a superb team, in fairness. I mean, they're the flagship team of the league, and you know, they're fully professional, and people expect them to win the league every year on that basis alone. But what they do, they get better and better. They make themselves better. They keep their squad competitive. They're professional in everything they do off the field as a management team and as a full-time squad. And they're not complacent about anything being the full-time side. They play fantastic football. I mean, attacking play, they've got some fantastic players. Ebbers have given them a good run, but they're so professional in what they do. Yeah, they are deserved winners. Yeah.
Matt, they're a fantastic side, but you feel something that's a bit negative sort of surrounding them. The amount of people they get through the gate, they don't get the amount of people they deserve through the gate.
Yeah, I mean, attendances aren't the best at Park Hall, but you know, that doesn't really, it's not a reflection of the football that's being played and of the club themselves, because like you say, they are a well-run club. On the pitch, they play some great football and they're very well organised, and like Mark has said, they deservedly won the league this year, and the fact they won the last three times isn't, you know, says it all really. But I mean, I'm sure they're looking at the community and engaging more in their local area to draw and build upon a fan base. You know, I know the club are looking to sort of redevelop the area around the ground in terms of facilities and training, you know, training areas. So you know, hopefully that's part of the bigger picture for the club and where they'll build more of a fan base. You know,
swiftly moving on to Bangor, Mark. I think at the start of the season they lost a few players, probably had a little less money to spend than the previous season, but Nev Powell's done a great job, hasn't he? They're in Europe, job done.
Nev's done a great job again. Yeah, I mean, it was the first season where they hadn't qualified for Europe. I think it was been 6 years. Obviously, that does dent your budget significantly, and because after 6 years of playing in Europe, you're going to get used to having that money. And they did have to make cuts, and they did have to bring in some younger players. But they've probably been better for it, as strange as it may sound, because they were, you know, they were excellent again last year. Fantastic character in the side. And they're a great club for the league as well, because you talk about attendances at the New Saints. But you look at the support that Bangor City have and now the stadium they have, and you combine that with their history and the tradition. They're a really, really good club for the league, and the league needs more clubs like Bangor City. Look at the bigger picture of the club. That's why it's so good to see Real back in the league as well.
That's it, yeah, and that bumped up attendances, isn't it? Because, you know, the games they played, fantastic games, a lot of people watching it. It's a good advert for the league. Just coming back to you, Matt, both of your former club, Port Talbot, a very disappointing season this season for Port Talbot. What do you put that down to?
That's a million-dollar question for Talbot. You know, on paper, an excellent squad. You know, they are a club with a good sort of fan base, and they, you know, they're quite ambitious on and off the field. You know, I've been closely involved with the club, as is Mark, and you know, I just couldn't give the answer as to why they've not achieved on the pitch. They've sort of lost their way early on, started the season with a heavy defeat to TNS, and they've never really recovered. You know, but you go through on paper, and the squad itself is probably one of the best three or four squads in the actual league. Scott Young came in, very professional in how he sort of asserted himself in the club, in training and his organisation, but it didn't quite work out. And obviously they've turned to a younger manager now with Jared Harvey, who's done quite well at Cambrian in the Welsh League. You know, a bright young manager, so it's a good addition for the league. And what they're trying to do now, sort of thing, I think, is trying to sort of draw upon local based players, and really add the character within the club. You know, so it's a new sort of phase, if you like, for Port Talbot, and next season you'd certainly expect better from them.
Another club that struggled similar to Port Talbot after a great season last season was Prestatyn, Mark. That was another one. They got into Europe. Great squad that Neil Gibson had put together, but this season it didn't work out for them, did it?
It's a bit of a recurring theme in the Welsh Premier League where clubs get to Europe for the first time and then they tend to struggle the following year. It's happened to a number of clubs. It's happened to Prestatyn this year. They are the club. They got to Europe last year through winning the Welsh Cup. We didn't have a massively different squad of players, but I think one of the key things with Prestatyn last season was the fact that they had this triangle of Neil Gibson, Andy Parkinson and Jason Price. And when those three played together, they played really well. This season they haven't had that triangle there. Obviously Jason Price left, Andy Parkinson's been there, but Neil Gibson hasn't played that often, and I think they've really missed that sort of experience triangle in the middle midfield.
Can you see them coming back stronger next season?
I don't think they will, no. I think they're going to have another bottom six season next year.
Yeah, just coming now, I was really surprised to see Neil Gibson, that he didn't feature so much last season. You know, he had a lot on the pitch in terms of character, and obviously he's obviously the manager, so a lot of instructions obviously come from him on the sidelines. But he brings so much to the club, the way he plays, and the fact he lost so many players anyway this last season, the fact he didn't play really surprised me. And last season when the going was tough, I think it would have been better for having him on the field rather than on the sidelines.
Just looking at two big success stories from this season, first we'll come to you, Matt. Aberystwyth, you know, they missed out on the top six by a points technicality, but they got to the final of the Welsh Cup and they really could have won it in the end, and they're in Europe next season. What a job that Ian Hughes has done this season.
Yeah, Ian Hughes has done a fantastic job. And when you talk about the top managers in the league, I think he's up there. In his first year, he's really established Aberystwyth into a competitive team, the way he's got them playing. You know, they're quite an attacking team. You've got a good core of sort of 14, 15 players, a strong backbone of the team. You've got Stuart Jones had a great season. You've got Corbacero, who's an excellent player at this level. Chris Venables, who's played just behind sort of Mark Jones as a sort of attacking midfielder striker. He's had a fantastic season. And also Jeff Kelly, who's arguably had his best season in the Welsh Premier League as well. So, you know, there's a lot of good things going on at Aberystwyth, and I really think they're a team to watch for next season.
Mark, just finally, just looking at my club, Newtown. Start of the season, everyone had them down as relegation fodder, and they've come through it and finished fifth against all the odds. What a season they have had this season.
And again, once again, you know, Newtown have been tipped to go down for a couple of seasons, but they always pull it together. I mean, credit, like last year, credit has to be given to Bernard McNally as well. You know, he started the season there, an excellent start again, like he did last year. Chris Hughes has taken over now, carried a bit of momentum forward. Obviously, you've got the top six, which is, you know, a fantastic achievement. I don't think anybody really expected them to do a lot in the top six, but getting there, you know, it's a fantastic thing with the budget that was there against. And you look at some of the budgets in the bottom six, just shows how well they did. Next season, it's going to be hard again, but the squad is such a character. To do what they've done the last couple of years, there's no reason why they can't do it again.
Just moving on this final review show, we're going to look at each other's best 11s now, or the best 11. The official best 11 was announced a couple of weeks ago. We'll just come to you, Matt. Who would you have in your best 11 from this season?
Right, well, for me, I'd probably go with Alex Ramsey, the Rilla goalkeeper. I think he's had an excellent season. And Rilla had a solid first season back in the league.
I agree with that one.
Start with defence, I'd say Declan Walker. Excellent first season for Bangor at right back. He's come from Wrexham. He's made a real name for himself. And I think, you know, he could be a real linchpin for Bangor the next couple of years. And the rest of my defence are basically the Airbus defence. You've got Pearson, Kearney and Hart, really solid campaigners. Yeah, and they've given Airbus a real sort of base to sort of build the side.
Is it Sam Hart's going off? Is it to Bangor?
Bangor, apparently.
Well, that's going to be a big loss for Airbus now, isn't it, this season?
It seems a stranger than that. Yeah. I mean, you know, he came in as the first choice left back. Short was injured. He came in the second half of the season, and he really established himself on the side as a key player for them. I'm surprised to see him leave. It's a real loss for Airbus, but for Bangor, what a signing that will be. Just on the midfield, I think you can't look further than Chris Venables. Outstanding, you know, his goals record says it all. Yeah. Sam Finlay, probably the best player in the league for me.
Will he be in the league next season? There's a big question that came out. So what do you think, Mark? Do you think he'll be around, or do you think he'll be over in England in the professional?
I think he'll be around for the start. Whether he's there in January is another story. But I think he'll be there for the first half of the season. But there's definitely bigger and better things going for him.
Yeah, definitely. The amount of clubs, I think a few championship clubs have been looking at him. So obviously,
yeah, apparently
he is a hot property at the moment.
Yeah.
Who else have you got in the midfield, Matt?
I think Tom Field for Airbus. I think he's probably the most underrated player in the league.
He's probably held that side together a lot of the time.
Yeah, he dictates a lot of the play. You know, he's plays such a key role in that team. And he often goes overlooked. So definitely he'd be included in my side. Aaron Edwards, again, another one. He just goes unnoticed. He's such a wonderful footballer.
He's done a very versatile job for TNS this season, has he? He filled in at right back, and he didn't really look out of place. So.
No, he's just a reliable player. He's can sort of play anywhere, really, in that midfield or right back role. And he's just comfortable on the ball. He's a good decision maker. And he's crucial to TNS, a real core player for them. Jeff Kelleway, I mentioned earlier, I think he's probably had his best season in the Welsh Premier League. you know, under Ian Hughes' system at Aberystwyth.
Linked to TNS, wasn't he, as well, a few weeks ago?
Linked to TNS. Apparently, he signed a new contract with Aber, so that's another big boost for...
I enjoyed his nickname as well, the Aberystwyth Express.
That's what I joined.
Dubbed on a few websites, but no, he's had a great season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done really, really well, and I think Aber will be looking for another big year of him next season. And just to finish the team, then up front, I've gone for Wild of TNS.
It's always a reliable job, the old-fashioned sort of centre-forward, isn't he?
Always popped up with a goal and a big threat.
Yeah. Mark?
Well, I'm no manager, as you're about to find out. So I've gone for Paul Harrison in goal, actually. I think a lot of people say he might have an easy job playing in goal for TNS, where he doesn't get a lot to do. I think the fact that he does things... having been redundant for 85 minutes and then he can pull off a great save.
That's it, isn't it? And I've noticed this season he's very good with his feet. The ball comes back to him and he's every inch the midfielder or the footwork of a striker at times.
And I also think if there was a better keeper in the league, then I think TNS would have
snapped them up by now, would have been
able to get them. So yeah, I'm going to go with Paul Harrison in goal. I'm going to put three at the back purely because there are so many good midfielders in the league that I want to put five in there. So at the back, I'm going with Ian Kearney of Airbus, who's also in Matt's team. Stuart Jones, and a newcomer at Bangor City, Anthony Miley. I've been really impressed when I've seen him.
Yeah, come from Conway. He's done very well, led their back line.
So, yeah, I've gone with Anthony Miley at the back, which a couple of managers did in their selections as well.
I think so. No,
he's quite young as well, Anthony. He's had a really good season.
Yeah, well, I've been really impressed with him. We're into midfield. Sam Finlay. I think he'd be more
surprised. Goes without saying, doesn't it, this season?
Again, Chris Venables. To bring goals. Already a complete player before he brought goals to his game. But now, with the way Aberystwyth have played, he's gone to another level again.
Yeah.
Superb. Going to find another TNS player, going with Chris Jones. Always been a big fan of Chris Jones since he played for Neath.
Yeah,
and even when he's at Swansea.
Always a threat.
And again, a similar vein, Mark Connolly with Bala.
He's gone unnoticed this season, I think, because Bala have had a poor season, but he always seems to be in amongst the goals, doesn't he?
And I think one of the best free kick takers you're ever likely to see. Absolutely fantastic in the set piece. And just to complete my five in midfield then, with Sean Edwards of Bangor City. Been a Bangor a long time.
Always held in high regard, isn't he, a lot of clubs around the league.
Struggled to get in the side a couple of years ago, but he's played quite regular this year because of the changes that he had to make. And he's been superb, absolutely superb for him this year. Similar theme then, I've gone for Les Davis up front. Somebody who...
Another good old-fashioned centre-forward.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But again, like Sean Edwards, they represent the character that Bangor City have.
They love the club, don't they?
And they're big game players as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I was at the playoff final between Bangor and Real. I mean, Les Davis pretty much won the game on his own.
But like you said there with character, there's not a lot of players. I think I wrote a blog post yesterday. It was about Ryan Giggs. It was in English players, professional players. But even in the Welsh Premier League, I think there's a lot of players in all forms of football now that turn up, get their money and go home, they don't care. But the people like Les Davis, and there's a lot of them at Newtown now, there's a good togetherness. They turn up and they want to play for the badge, they want to play for the club, and it's refreshing to see, isn't it?
Divert from the team, just to carry on that theme. I mean, you talk about the problems that Talbot Town had last season, where there was individuals but no character or team spirit. And already the club has made big moves to sign a number of local players for next season, so it's showing how important that is, having that character and that... commitment and connection with the club.
That's how
important that is. Just to complete my 11, then I've gone for Michael Wilde up front. I think he's got a bit of everything as a striker. He's good in the air. He's fast. Yeah. Great finisher.
And he's been around in the league for years.
And I think if he was up there with Les, then there'd be a few goals.
A few goals in that one. Just moving on to mine now. It's a bit Newtown orientated, a bit biased towards that. But I've gone with the same goalkeeper as Matt. I've gone for Alex Ramsey. I know the lad quite well, but he's had a good season this season. I say that every time he's played against Newtown, he's made a blunder, and he's not going to thank me for saying that, but he has had a good season. Every time Rill have been on the telly or I've been catching a bit of their game, he's always been fantastic. My back four, I've gone for Craig Williams of Newtown, always been a reliable player. He's moved from a winger to right back this season. I think it benefited him more. And I think in about the opening 15 games, he scored about 10 free kicks, so that's a good asset to have for the club. But he's been fantastic. He's been there for years. I think he's still only about 25. He's made about 250 appearances, so he comes under sort of the same bracket as Les Davis. We were just talking about them. And another one is Shane Sutton. He's been there now 5 or 6 years, and he's just a rock at the back. And I think he's coming on every year. And there's always clubs sniffing around him, and Shane's been fantastic. Just agreeing with both of you, really. Got Ian Kearney in there, great job for Airbus this season. And well, surprise pick for me, well, probably for other people, but not for me. I picked Cledon Davis of Aberystwyth at left back. I thought he's had a very good season. Very impressed.
I almost put Cledon in my team as well.
Last season I noticed him. I was started a new town in the January and we had a couple of games against him. They were 0-0 games, but he was magnificent for such a young player. He's got such good composure on the ball and I think he's got a big future.
Yeah, I think he's one of the players who've really thrived in Aberystwyth's side under sort of Ian Hughes.
Yeah.
You know, they're quite attacking, both the fullbacks love to get forward, and that's his game really. He's played for Carmarthen and quite a lot sort of left midfield, left back, but he seems to be settled in that position.
Just moving on midfield, probably three of them go without saying. I've got Kellaway, Finlay and Venables. And an interesting thing about Venables, been thinking for a while, he's in that sort of 26, 27, 28 bracket. Is he good enough, like Finlay, to jump over to the professional game in England, do you feel?
I think he probably is, but maybe the stigma of the league unfairly sort of doesn't allow that to happen.
Yeah. I think because of the way Venables plays and the position he plays in, he could slot in a Football League club. No problem at all.
He's got that attacking prowess, and it showed that this season.
You'd have more time on the ball,
yeah,
and that would probably suit him.
Yeah.
And better pitches as well.
Yeah, better services, better time on the ball, better service. Yeah. I think he'd be.
Because I think at times he, not to put a dampener on Aberystwyth season, but he's carried the side. Sometimes he's scored four goals in certain games.
Yeah, I spoke to Rhys Griffiths about this previously, and obviously Rhys is a big sort of hugely experienced player at this level, who's played the professional game as well, and he'll tell you Chris Venables for him is the best player in the league, and he's convinced he could be playing professional. So I think that says it all, really.
Moving to I got one more midfielder left. That is biased towards Newtown again. Matthew Hearsey, he's come over from the amateur system in the Midlands. He was brought over by Bernie McNally last season, and I think towards the end of last season he showed what he's capable of. But certainly up until January this season, I don't think there was a defence in the league that could have stopped him. So what's your guys' views of him? Do you think he's had a good season?
I think he's been excellent. I saw him in the World Cup game at the beginning of the season against Talbot, but that's the first I've seen him, and he really caught my eye then. I think he played on the left, but he gives them a lot of pace. He's a real good outlet for Newtown.
Do you feel he'll be another threat next season, because Newtown have got to try and carry this momentum and
yeah,
try and get to the top
six
again?
The danger with Newtown, it happened with the captain last time, he's just holding on to players like that's that. It. The fact they've kept up Craig Williams and Shane Sutton, like you said, you know, they played exceptionally well. Will they hold on to somebody like Hersey if other clubs come looking for him? You know, it's difficult.
Well, it's good, and the top four players, Mills, Evans, Sutton, Williams and Hearsey, they've all signed contracts very early on before pre-season, so that's a positive thing for Chris Hughes and for Newtown, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's important he keeps the core squad together. He'll be looking to build again next year. I still think he's got a bit of work to do. I think the squad's a little bit lighter towards the end of the season, and I still think they need a little bit more up front, really, sort of a bit more strength and depth. But, you know, Newtown does an excellent season, and really they're a blueprint for any sort of Welsh Premier League club aspiring to get in the top six.
Just a quick one now. Mark, player of the season.
Only one for me, Chris Venables.
Chris Venables, yeah.
That's on my sheet as well. He's had a fantastic season, as we said. Now, manager of the season. Mark, who are you going to go with?
Similar theme. I've gone with Ian Hughes. Purely because first year as a manager, took over the club at 29 years old.
Fantastic job for such
super.
A young manager.
Got to the Welsh Cup final, qualified for the Europa League. Got him playing some fantastic football. He's got the best out of people like Cledon Davis and Chris Venables, like we talked about. Really can't fault what he's done this year. The only blip would be not finishing in the top six.
Yeah, but that's obviously a bit of a technicality.
I would even say Aberystwyth are probably, you know, if they were in the top six, I think they were better than Bangor and Carmarthen last season.
Definitely.
And I think they would have taken that third place if they were in there. My manager this season, Ian Hughes, is close, but I'm probably going to have to go with Craig Arson and Carl Darlington, and just on the fact they won the league three times in a row. Yeah, they've done a good job.
A great achievement, even though everyone knows they've got big resources, but it is. They've got to churn it out every season. They've got to do it. And
yeah, the pressure's always on them, and they produce the goods.
And me, I've gone, again, being biased, I've gone for Newtown's manager, Chris Hughes. Could say / Bernie McNally there, but I think when Bernie McNally left, that Newtown had just strung a run together. I don't think they won three games on the trot under Bernie, and they'd done that. And then there was no pressure. No one thought they'd get in the top six. But he's had to carry that momentum on, and I think he only lost two games in the first sort of 15 of his reign. So for such a young manager coming from an assistant manager's position, much like Ian Hughes, they've both done fantastic jobs, haven't they, Mark?
Oh, they have, yeah. And, you know, perhaps that is the best way to go. It's the best to have a little bit of grounding, a bit of experience of the league as an assistant before coming in as a manager.
Just moving on to the final section of our final show of the season. We're looking at Obviously, it's a close season, but managers are still working very hard to strengthen their squads. I've just got a list. We'll go through a few signings here that have happened so far. Carmarthen and Port Talbot seem to have been exchanging players left, right and centre so far, but Chris Hartland is on his way to Carmarthen. Great signing for him.
Great signing, very good player, but Chris struggles to produce consistently, I think. He had a good impact at Avonlea early in the season, went to Prestatyn, bit of a strange move considering he's based in Newport, but it didn't really work out for him. He did score a few goals up at Prestatyn, but towards the end of the season wasn't really involved in the first team. So he'd be looking to get his form back on track, really, at Carmarthen. And I think he will do so under Mark Hazlewood.
He's a player who divides opinion, really, Chris. I mean, you can get lost in some games and you don't normally see him, but I've never seen anybody strike the ball better than him.
Remember when we went down to Avonlea, he needed a point to get in the top six, and he scored two absolutely unbelievable free kicks. So he's obviously going to be an asset for Carmarthen. A couple of other players. Clayton Green, I don't know much about him. Have you two got much knowledge of him, or is he one of them players that's going to be plucked from lower leagues?
I don't know a lot about him, to be honest. Mark Hazlewood, he's not afraid to go into other leagues and bring in players.
Yeah.
He's done it with success before. You have to wait and see. It's how players adapt to playing in the league as well. You know, it can be a bit of a culture shock, especially going to Carmarthen, where the majority of games are now in North Wales. You know, you're talking 4 or 5 hour bus journeys to every away game, which is... it's a new experience for a lot of players.
Another striker coming into Carmarthen, David Brooks, come from Port Talbot. I was a bit shocked by that move because I thought he had an okay season for Port Talbot, and I've seen him, he's been
I would possibly disagree with that. I think David's been I think he's coming off a poor season for his standards. He's an exceptionally talented footballer, no one's doubting that. You know, the season before last he was excellent for Talbot, finishing the top scorer. I think he's got 16 league goals and he put within touching distance of Europa League space, place. Lost his way a bit last year, struggled with injuries, and I would suggest the move is probably the best thing for him. Again, another one, a new manager, new setting, really. Carmarthen should do the best, should get the best out of him, and if he's at his best, Carmarthen got one of the best players in the league. He really is one who could step up professionally.
Mark, they put another striker in, Jeff White from Newtowns, landed back down in South Wales at Carmarthen. Do you think he'll do a good job? Because he had a bit of mixed fortunes, really, at Newtown, didn't he?
Yeah, he's an interesting player, Jeff. He came to Port Talbot originally from the Welsh League. The whole idea was that he was going to be second fiddle to Rhys Griffiths. It was before Rhys went to Plymouth. Rhys went to Plymouth a couple of weeks before the season started, and Jeff was thrown in as the main striker. And he did a decent job. He did a really good job. He's got a few goals, and then he went to Newtown. And Jeff, he's limited in what he can do, but he's a good old-fashioned striker.
Holds the ball up well, doesn't he? He's got a good first touch. Lacks a bit of pace, I think, but like Mark said, he's good.
And he's got a great attitude and commitment as well. I think he can carry him through a few games. And he's a good solid player you want in your squad.
Port Talbot made some good signings so far. Kieran Raffel, Luke Bowen, Liam McCreesh, Carl Evans, Casey Thomas, bringing in, as you said, a core of local players. Are they good moves, Matt, do you feel?
I think so, and I think Port Talbot have done really well to get those players on board. They've acted quickly to get them signed up for next season. Most of those players have played before for the club. I think the exception being Kieran Raffel. He had a really good season last year. Underrated sharp player. Did well at Avonlea. Got the move to Carmarthen where he's with better players. He didn't get out of his place. You know, he became a real key player for them as well. So he's a good attacking option for Talbot. And the rest of the players, Liam McCreesh, seasoned midfielder. Carl Evans, real strong centre-half. They're looking in good shape, hopefully.
Just moving up north to Airbus. Airbus have... they've released Steve Jones, former crew man, got international caps under his belt. It's a bit of a strange one, really, isn't it? Because he had a great season last season.
I don't think he had so much of a great season. He was, I've spoke to Steve after a few months of him being in the league, and I don't think he was overly enamoured by it, to be honest. I don't think he had the right sort of attitude for it. He came, it's obviously a step backwards for him in his career, coming to a part-time level. Obviously, he's playing for Northern Ireland, I think, just... quite recently, a couple of seasons ago. Coming to places, I spoke to him at Avonlea, so you can imagine his sort of reaction to going to ground like Avonlea and looking around at one man and his dog, which is pretty much there that day. So I'm not overly surprised he's left the club.
Do you think he'll go back into the professional game? Think he's got the ability to
I think those days have gone now. He'll play non-league football in England, I'm sure, but... obviously, I think he was looking at it. It was, people come into the Welsh Premier League from outside, and they may think it's not as good as what it is. You know, I think it's a higher standard than people appreciate, because they base it on crowds and base it on the stigmas that are attached to it. But I think it's harder than some players realise until they actually get in and start playing in it. And I think that might have been the case with Steve Jones.
You said before when we were talking about Newtown, Matt, that they maybe need to strengthen. They're a bit light up front. Thursday, they brought in Jason Oswell, former Rill and an Airbus striker. Do you feel he'll be an asset for Newtown?
It's a good signing, definitely, an attacking signing, which is what they need. Again, had a good spell at Rill, went to Airbus, didn't really get many opportunities from January onwards. So, you know, I wasn't surprised to see him leave Airbus. So, yeah, you know, he's at a club where he should get, you know, a fair amount of first-team football. It's a good set up, like you said, a good core group of players. So, yeah, it's probably a good move for all parties there.
And just finally moving on to you, Mark. Obviously, Jason Oswell's coming at Newtown. He's going to have to sort of maybe fill the void of that's going to be left by Sean Evans for the first few months of the season, because he's out until November. That's going to be a big loss for Newtown going into next season, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Newtown's got a small squad, so losing any key players is always going to be difficult. Again, you can't write them off. They've got a good manager in Chris Hughes. I'm sure he's got his plans. And there's a long way to go in the summer as well. Yeah, I'm sure that players are going to be moving around before the season kicks off.
Final look, just before we end the last show of the season, I'm going to put you both on the spot now. Who's going to win the league next season, Matt?
Really have put me in a spot, yeah. Hard luck past TNS at this stage.
Mark?
I'm going to go to Airbus. Airbus, just to mix it up. I think this could be the year where they just finish. I mean, plastic surface next year.
That would be a big surface. Boost, yeah.
Something that Danny Priest has criticised the advantage that he claims TNS have because of that.
He's not going to have that excuse now.
No, true. I think they've been chipping away. They're getting closer. I think they could just finish above them this year.
I think they still need another two big signings, I think. But, yeah.
And finally, Matt, who's going to go down next season, do you feel?
Oh, that's a horrible question to ask. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, you've got Kevin Druids, who sort of... I don't know much about them at the moment, to be honest with you, so I'm looking forward to seeing how they do. So obviously, they'll, as being promoted, they'll be one of the main sort of contenders to be battling against relegation. I really think we're starting to have to strengthen the squad. Connors Key did well the back end of the season, but they've got to carry on that and maybe add a couple more signings to the side as well. So it's going to be very competitive again. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of time until the start of the season where teams will obviously strengthen their squads.
Who do you feel is going to go down next season, Matt?
Relegation from the Welsh Premier League, it depends on a lot of factors. It's going to depend on promotion from feeder leagues as well. One of the things guaranteed in our league is that there are surprises at both ends of the table every season. I think Carmarthen are going to be the surprise team and they're going to be down the bottom next season.
You feel?
Yeah.
Reason behind that?
They've lost a few players. They signed a couple. They've lost some key players this year, already this summer. The season just gone, was a bit of a make or break season for Carmarthen. They were unlucky to miss out in the playoff semi-final. I think they've run the course of their little cycle and I think next year they're going to struggle.
Big, big shout there from Mark to end the season. We're just about out of time here. It's been another end to a roller coaster season with some unexpected results, points deductions and everything else that comes with a Welsh Premier League season. A massive thank you today to my guests, to Mark Pittman and to Matt Burgess, for joining me on the panel. Thank you very much for listening and we hope to see you again next season.